Thank you, Pastor Anthony. I appreciate it. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm excited to preach today. I'm hope you're excited. Are you excited to hear it?
Yes.
Faith comes by hearing the word. Amen. I'm actually amped to preach today. I'm amped. Excited is in the word. I'm amped. This is a message that the Lord has been really speaking to me in my own personal life, and it's kind of I'm just sharing out of what God is doing in my life. We are right now currently in a sermon series called Great and Precious Promises. Peter chapter 1, where it says that through the great and precious promises of God, we're enabled to share in his divine nature and escape the corruption of this world. So we've been looking at, okay, what are these promises that are ours in Christ Jesus? Did you know that every word that God says in his word, every promise that he makes in his word is for you? It is your inheritance. The words, the promises that God makes in Scripture are part of your inheritance through Jesus Christ. And so every promise in Scripture, I want you to receive it as your own. Receive every promise in Scripture as your own. And we're given so many promises in Scripture from God, and there's so many that apply to every dimension in your life. And this morning's promise is something that is it's coming out of what I know that is happening in the church, in our church. This is not prophetic insight. This is insight that comes from being a pastor and being able to share life with you. And that is this. There's warfare on our families right now. And there's no way other to describe it. There's warfare on our families right now. But the promise of God for each and every one of you this morning, if you call upon God as your Lord and your Savior and your Father, is that he fights for you and your family. And he will give you victory. That he fights for you, he fights for your family, and he gives you victory. Amen? The Bible says that we are in a spiritual conflict. And in that conflict, our enemy is targeted at destroying the people you love. And if we're not careful, we can all be susceptible and fall prone to kind of a defeatist mentality, where it's just like, man, this is all encompassing. This is all happening around me. I can't even breathe. I hear you. Go ahead, EJ, sing it, man. You preach it. And if we're not careful, we're all prone to it. We're all susceptible to falling into that defeatist mentality. Like, oh, crap, this is all going wrong. Everything in my life, the people I love, I don't know what's going on. God, I can't breathe. I can't see. It's just all-encompassing. And we kind of fall into this defeatist mentality like, oh, just give into it, right? Your heart becomes faint, and you just kind of give into it. Like, what can I do? You know, it's out of my control, obviously, and it is out of your control. But that's not what God says. The word of God this morning is that he fights for you. And he's fighting for your family to give you victory. Turn in your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 20. That's where we're going to be starting at this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 20, just a little bit of context of what's happening right now. The nation of Israel is at the threshold of stepping into the promises of God. They're gearing up to step into the promised land. It's right before them. And God is gearing them up. He's getting them ready to step into the promised land. But they're going to face battle. And he's letting them know, hey, you're headed into battle right now. And it's going to be a hard battle. And just be ready for that. And so God gives them guidelines as they're about to go in. And he really challenges their faith in this. Because they have no idea what's up ahead. They have no idea what's about to face them. But he challenges them. God challenges their faith right now. And he even gives them an instruction. He gives them a command. Let's see what he says. This is God speaking to the people. He says, when you go out to war against your enemies and you see that their horses and their chariots and their army are larger than your own, you shall not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And when you draw near to the battle, the priest shall come forward and speak to the people and shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near for battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. In other words, don't give in to it. Don't succumb to it. He says, do not fear or panic or be in dread of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I love this right here because God is giving them here commands for warfare. These are the God's rules of engagement coming down from the commander-in-chief, right? He's heading his people right into battle, and he gives them this authoritative instruction It comes from the commander-in-chief. Do not fear. Do not let your heart faint. Do not panic and do not be in dread. Though their army is much greater than you are, they're more well-equipped than you are, do not fear. Do not panic. Do not be in dread. For the Lord your God goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. I love this. I love this. And so what would make the people of Israel even believe him? What would they give him? What would cause them to put their faith in this promise of God? It says here in verse 2, it gives them the reason. He says, you shall not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And so this command that God gives to his people, this authoritative instruction about heading into warfare, spiritual warfare for us, is to not be afraid, do not panic, do not be in dread, do not succumb to it, for the Lord your God is fighting for you against your enemies to give you victory. And it's all validated, it's all substantiated on the premise that God has already done this in the past. He brought them out of Egypt. In the book, in the first chapter of Deuteronomy, you could turn there if you want, it'll be up above there as well. In verse 30, it says, the Lord your God, who goes before you, will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes, and in the wilderness where you have seen the Lord your God carry you. And so here is this instructive, this directive that's coming from the commander-in-chief. Do not fear. Do not succumb to it. Do not be in panic. Do not be in dread. Why? Because I've already been fighting for you up to this point. I've already shown you my stuff. I've already accomplished your salvation. I've already rescued you time and time and time and time again. Why would I stop now, my people? Why would I all of a sudden stop now fighting for you to give you victory? And God here in this moment, he's bolstering their confidence. He's bolstering their faith in this moment of reminding them of all the things that he's done for them. He's saying, guys, don't quickly forget how I've saved you before. Don't quickly forget how I've rescued you back there. Don't quickly forget what I've always been doing for you. I've always been fighting for you. Now for us, on this side of the cross, right, are we supposed to somehow disassociate these promises of our God from being applied to our life here in the now and the present? Not at all. This is the same God. He is unchanging. And his promises to them are his promises for each and every one of you, each one of his people. There are spiritual forces against us as well. They're fighting against us and they're fighting for us. That's what Scripture makes it very clear. But the hope this morning that you have and that I have is that God is fighting for you against your enemies to give you victory. Amen. Ephesians 6 tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, and to put on the whole armor of God so that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the enemy. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the principalities and the evil spiritual forces of evil in this world. Make no mistake about it, guys. You and I are in a spiritual conflict with evil. Paul describes it as a warfare of faith. It's essentially war for your faith. It's a war to take your faith out from underneath you, to cause you to doubt, to cause you to not believe. There is a warfare going on for your faith. And there is no amount of human effort that can adequately at all go against this enemy. No matter how much strength you feel like you have or mental stamina you have, right? It is an enemy that is way larger than you, well more equipped than you, and it needs the power of the Almighty God to fight for you, with you, by your side to give you victory. Your enemy is a master strategist, and his aim right now is to destroy those who are close to you. those who you love, to hurt you and your family. His aim is to destroy your hope and your faith. His aim is to leave you in fear and panic and dread and doubt. There are no rules of engagement with this enemy. He doesn't follow rules. He will do whatever it takes to take you down because he hates you. He hates that you're alive. He hates that you have breath in your lungs. He hates that you have hope. He hates that you have joy. He hates that you have peace. He hates that you are in Christ Jesus. He hates you. And so he will do whatever he can to take you down. But today, our hope and our faith and our confidence is found in the victory that has been secured by Jesus Christ on the cross. That is the hope that you have. That is the confidence that we should live every single day with. Confidence. Confidence. That cannot be shaken, secured by the victory of Jesus on the cross. You see, while the Old Testament believers were looking ahead to what God was going to do with the Messiah, we on this side of the cross now look back upon the cross and the work of the Messiah and the victory that he secured. And all of history is hinged upon that event. All of history is hinged upon that miraculous event of victory. Upon that victory, the Bible says that Jesus disarmed the powers and the authorities of evil. They've been disarmed, man. And his promise to you this morning is that he goes with you to fight for you, to give you. One person got it. To give you. Amen. Amen. So what then are we supposed to do? What is our role in this? Are we just supposed to say, go about our lives and do whatever the heck we want just because God is going to be shooting for victory? No, there's some parameters in this. Actually, as a matter of fact, in Numbers it even tells that God says, if only if you cry out to me will I go to battle for you. Only if you depend on me and lean upon me and praise me will I go to fight for you. And so what are we supposed to do? Simply this. Praise him. That's why this whole morning was set up as such a praise service. Because we're going into battle. The Israelites, when they went into battle, they were led by praise. They didn't know what was ahead of them. They didn't know what they were going in front of. What they did know is that the battle, that the army in front of them was way bigger and that they were well more equipped than they are. But what they did was they chose to praise God and thank him for the certain victory ahead of them. They had a confidence about themselves, and that's what praise is. It's a confession of confidence. It's a voice of faith in saying, God, I don't see how you're going to do it. I just know you're going to do it because you said you're going to do it. And you are true to your word. You are true to your promises. There's a story in 2 Chronicles. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to turn there. 2 Chronicles in chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat and his army, they're about to head into battle, and it's going to be a doozy. Right, he's facing them in this battle, and it says there that they were powerless against this great horde of army in front of them. They were powerless against them. He says, we are powerless against this great army that is coming against us. We don't know what to do, Lord, but our eyes are on you. And then the Lord says to them, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed at this great army ahead of you, for battle is not yours, it's God's. He goes on and he tells them, this is what you need to do to fight this battle. I love this. This is what you need to do to fight this battle. Stand firm and hold your position and watch with your very eyes what God is going to do. That's what he says there to them. How awesome is that? This is what you need to do in battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and watch with your very eyes the victory that is going to come in front of you. You watch what God is going to do. You watch him bring you victory. You watch him rescue you in this time. How awesome is that? Stand firm. Hold your position and praise him and watch what's going to happen. In Psalm 144, the psalmist says, bless the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. And he starts to praise him. He says, he is my steadfast love and my fortress. He is my stronghold. He is my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge. A little bit later, he tells us, let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in your hand. Let the praises, the high praise of God be in your mouth, come out of your mouth, and a strong sword in your hands. You see, for the psalmist, spiritual battle became reminders to praise God. This was a weapon of warfare for him. It was like taking up that brave, I just have that image of the, you know, William Wallace in Braveheart, and he's just wielding that sword, and then, right? That was sound effects. That's what it sounds like. You guys knew what I was talking about, right? That was a lightsaber. But praise becomes a powerful weapon for your spiritual warfare, for you to do battle against the enemy, because he is bigger than you. He is well more equipped than you, but you have the Lord of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on your side, and he's fighting for you, the God who will only be victorious. And this is why praise is a powerful weapon in spiritual warfare. Number one, it acknowledges and honors God as your source of strength and the only hope that you have. It honors him. It acknowledges him. It lifts him up, actually. Secondly, praise strengthens your faith by it takes your eyes off of the opposition and all the encompassing junk and crap in your life. And it puts it back on the one whose redemption is nigh, right? Where you set your eyes on that mountain above and where your salvation comes from. It takes your eyes off of the opposition, puts it back on God and on his victory. And he cannot be defeated. Most importantly for me, when you use praise in spiritual warfare, it disarms the enemy of his greatest weapons. And his greatest weapons are pride and fear and panic and dread and discouragement. And so when you use praise, when the enemy's coming at you and all everything around you is all-encompassing and you don't give in, don't succumb to it, do not fear. Know this morning that God goes with you and he fights for you against your enemy to give you victory. Amen. Amen. And you know, when you praise God, what you're doing is how I praise God. You take his word and you go through it and you study it. I don't know about you, but I go through my margins, and when I see a promise of God, I write promise of God so that I can go through my Bible and I can see where the promises of God. And then I just begin to pray those over my life and I begin to thank God for them. And when you're praising God, you're not asking him for his promises to come true. You're thanking him. Thank you, God, that this is what you said you're going to do. Thank you that this is certain. Thank you that you are true to your word and that there's nothing going to take away from that. I thank you, God, in advance for the victory that's up ahead. I can't see it, but I thank you for it, God, because I believe in who you are. When you wield that weapon of praise, you're rejoicing in God's protection and his security. You're rejoicing in the promises that he's made. Whether you find yourself in a time of adversity or a time of prosperity, take your sword and let the high praises of God be on your mouths like this. I'm just going to read off some scripture after scripture. God, thank you that your word says that the children of your people, my children, will live secure and that my children will be established before you. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that your word says that you will contend with those that we contend with and that our children, you will save them. I thank you, God, that when we worship you and we come before you, you promise to deliver us from the hands of our enemies. Lord, I thank you that your word says that you are my help and the one who sustains me. Lord, I thank you that your word says you are my refuge, my stronghold when I'm in trouble. Lord, I thank you that because I've made you my Lord, my dwelling place, that no evil shall be allowed to befall on me. No plague can come upon my house because you command your angels concerning me. I thank you, God, that you guard me in all of your ways. I thank you, Lord, that you rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into your kingdom. Are you hearing me, church? Do you see something that's going to take place when you use praise as a weapon? Because you are thanking God. You're acknowledging God. And he makes good on his promises, church. I know that to be true. I've seen it in my life. He makes true on his promises. He makes good on them. And when you praise him according to his promises, even especially in the midst of adversity, your strength is bolstered. Your confidence is renewed. Your faith is expanded, and you actually draw near to Him. 2 Corinthians 2:14, if you could put that up for us in the back. Thanks, Mike. Look at this. Key word in here, all right? Thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph. Thanks be to God who always, not sometimes, always leads us in triumph. Do you believe this? Do I believe this? Even in the midst of adversity, do I believe that because of the work that Jesus Christ has already accomplished, it's already been done, He's already completed it, that God will lead me in victory forever? Do you believe this? This is a phenomenal piece of scripture right here. Because what it's saying is that you and I are only led in the way of victory. We're led in one direction. Church, people of God, you're led in one direction, and that direction is victory. Let that just sink deep in you. Just let it sink deep in you. We are only led in one way, and we are engaged in spiritual warfare in which there is only one outcome. Victory. Victory. But how many times do each of us neglect to place our faith in the promises of God? I know I count myself in that. How many times do I find myself discouraged and allowing the enemy to get me discouraged and to fear and to panic and to just succumb to it as if there's no hope? How many times do we do that? We neglect our faith in the promises that God says. Do I really believe that God is fighting for me? Do you really believe that God is fighting for your family? Do you really believe that God is fighting for your circumstance? Especially when you and I can't see it. But is that not the substance of our faith? Is that not the substance of our faith? A deep conviction and confidence in the praises, the promises of God taking place in my life, though I cannot see it right before my very eyes. That's faith. That is the substance of your faith. Do I trust God for what I cannot see? Do I trust God for what seems impossible? Am I able to take God at His word? Are you able to take God at His word? That's what the Israelites were faced with when they were about to head into battle. And though the opposition in front of them was a great army, way greater than them, well more equipped with horses and chariots than they are, right? To be honest with you, a lot of those guys hadn't fought in a while, too. They hadn't had a lot of practice in the wilderness. But though their opposition army was bigger and more equipped than they are, they had to make a decision in that moment. Would they place their faith in God when He says to them, "Let not your heart faint. Do not fear. Do not panic. Do not be in dread. For the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you amen. Amen." And then they were led by praise. Praise led them before the battle. They were boisterous about their praise just before battle. So if I can invite the praise team and the music team to come on forward, well, there's no better way to respond to this than by praising Him. Amen? Amen. Amen. So you guys can come on up and join me. But church, I implore you, make the days of living a defeated life, put them behind you. Do not let the enemy get you discouraged into fear, into panic, in dread. Don't let him do that. Wield your weapon of praise in His face. You know, you can praise Him and not be boisterous. I was in my house the other day, and I knew that I had to shout victory in my house. But thank you, God, that Your word says this and this. But there was people in my house, right? He knows what I'm saying. He knows my heart was blah, you know? Let the high praise of God be in your mouths, declaring the promises of God in the midst of adversity. Amen? You guys just begin to play behind me. If you would just stand with me this morning, I'm going to read one more passage of Scripture as they play behind me. It's It's going to also be up top for you. Have a listen to this. If this doesn't sound like praise wielding a weapon of warfare, I don't know what does. This is David. He says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp around me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident in this. One thing I've asked for the Lord that I will seek after, and that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of my trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and he will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted high above my enemies all around me, and I will offer into his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy, and I will sing with a melody to my Lord and God." Amen? Amen. Let's praise him, church.
We worship you.